power of the Word of God can transform a life. It can renew your mind. It can change you. It can revolutionize your life. And he opened their minds for the understanding of the Word of God, showing them how to read their Bibles this way. He said, you can see how now it is written that the Messiah suffers, raises from dead on the third day, and then a total life change through the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed in his name to all nations, starting from here, from Jerusalem. You're the first to hear and see it. You're the witnesses. And this is very important. I'm sending what my father promised you. So stay here in the city until he arrives, until you're equipped with power from on high. So something tells me that if we negate the Holy Spirit, if we don't include the Holy Spirit in our spiritual walk, we're not being properly equipped for the things God has prepared for us to do. Someone's getting robbed, not just you, but the ones you're supposed to be influencing for good are getting robbed. I don't know about you, but if God says something, and if I really believe that God is real, and if I really believe this book is worth reading, if he says something, I want to say, yes, Lord. Amen. I want that. You said I'm supposed to do this. You said I'm supposed to have this. You said these things could happen, and it's a good thing. I want in. I think that's a fair statement to make. I used to tell the teenagers in my youth group back in the USA, look, if this thing's real, let's live it. If not, let's all go get drunk. I mean, it's one or the other. Let's either just be stupid or let's get real. And I think we need to treat the Bible with that kind of authority to understand that it has the power to change lives forever. It's not just a little storybook with crayons. It's an action book, you know, the book of Acts. It all boils down to this. A total life change through the forgiveness of sins needs to be proclaimed to all people, all nations, everywhere. And we have been promised a special equipping power to accomplish that goal. One of Luke's purposes, I shared this last week, just a quick recap, in writing the book of Acts was to reveal the role of the Holy Spirit in the church's life and mission. And he emphasizes the baptism of the Holy Spirit as God's gifting and provision for empowering the believers to proclaim the message of the gospel, the message of the cross, and to continue the ministry of Jesus, complete with miracles, healings, signs, and wonders, in any order you wish to speak that. Luke's writing confirms that that was the norm in early Christianity. It wasn't like, oh, this guy needs a TV show. Look, he's a healer. It was like, they're believers. This is normal. This is what they do. I mean, if you watch these guys and you read of their stories in the book of Acts of their travels, they're all doing miracles. They're raising dead people. I mean, they're doing things that we would go, oh my gosh, you should write a book and be in a movie. These guys were just living it daily. This is normal Christianity, and we like to call it now revival. The truth is, you revive only that which is dead. And if that's where we're at, then we need revival. But these are the things God said could happen in our life. Normal. And still, today, God's pattern for the church. The baptism and the Holy Spirit is distinct and separate occurrence from the regeneration of being born again or being water baptized. It's intended for all who profess faith in Christ and been born again by the power of his Spirit. You know, we saw how Peter in the upper room, Holy Spirit comes, tongues of fire, 120 people gathered. Jesus said, stay there until you're equipped with power from on high. We just read it. Peter begins to preach out the window. All these people, all these Jewish people were down below speaking different languages from all over. They were there for whatever, I don't know, some kind of meeting. They were there. And Peter is preaching to them. Now, this is a guy, if you remember, this is a guy that denied Christ three times after the cross. When the rooster crowed. And now he's boldly proclaiming. And he's no longer afraid. So what got into him? What caused this life change, this total life change? The Holy Spirit got into him. And now 3,000 people believe because one guy reaches out the window and said, these men are not drunk as you think, because they're talking in all these different languages, heavenly languages that the Holy Spirit empowered them. Said, but they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on to preach about what Christ did on the cross and how they nailed him to that tree. And they were crushed in their spirit to the point that they wanted to accept Christ as their Savior. That's good preaching. Not bad for a first time out of the chute. Wow, 3,000 people. And it could have been 3,000 men. It could have been more than that. Because a lot of times when they say that, they just mention men. It revolutionized his life. You know, when he healed the crippled beggar, religious people. And when I say religious people, most of you know I'm talking about a form of practice that I don't believe in religion. I believe in relationship with Jesus Christ. So often what we've done with religion is we've created a set of rules that we put in onto people that aren't necessarily godly. Sometimes can be, sometimes not. But the Bible says in Romans, it says they can have a form of godliness yet deny the power thereof. You can know a lot about God, you know, but you can still not know the Savior. There are people that write books about God and they still don't know the Son. You can have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. And the cross is the power unto salvation. You know, they didn't like it, these religious people, because people were coming to Christ by the thousands and they had them arrested. But when Peter spoke to defend their actions, he was filled with the Holy Spirit and God empowered him to speak with even greater wisdom and boldness. Listen to his response in Acts 4. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, he said, rulers and elders of the people. Now, this was in, you know, the Jewish rulers, the Sadducees, the Pharisees. He says, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to mankind, but which he must be saved. And when they saw the courage, the Bible says this, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary people, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit can do. That's what the Word of God can do. Transform your life. If you're tired of your life, if you are bored with where you're at, and I'm talking especially spiritually, okay? Then why not give more to God and see what he can do with a little? Because God can do a lot with a little if you'll just give it to him. Peter was an example of that. Now, Peter is talking to these religious educated people, the leadership of the local Jewish church. And he's talking to them in a way that they understood that this man had been trained by Jesus, not normal. After that, they prayed to the Lord that they would speak in even greater boldness and to heal and to do signs and wonders in the name of Jesus. And that place where they were was shaken. I would that, like when Laura was praying a while ago up here, this place would shake. That you wouldn't even be able to stand. That the power of God would be so heavy in this place. And that's what happened here. The place was shaken, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with boldness. If God, that's what it takes to get our attention, do it. Why not? Some people say, oh, he's talking spooky now. No, I'm just reading what it says in the Bible. The place shook. It didn't shake because there was a big truck going by. They didn't have big trucks. A big donkey? No, wasn't even that. It shook because God sent a shaking through the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because they were asking something God wanted already. God, you know, they could easily go, okay, we won't talk anymore about Jesus, you know, and just wimp out. But instead they said, okay, God, give us more boldness. We just want to speak more about it. And God likes it and honors them with that. So Jesus can take that average person and anoint them beyond their own ability to even confound the intellectuals and the leaders of the day. They took note that they'd been with Jesus. So if you think you have a monotonous religious life, try letting the Holy Spirit have a piece of the action in your life. God is limitless. Last week, we left off in chapter 7. Stephen, man of God, was being stoned. And I don't mean this kind of stoned. I mean they were throwing rocks. And he preached unashamedly to these same type of religious people that didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, didn't believe that there was life after death. And they wanted to kill him. And as they were stoning him, the Bible says that the heavens opened and they saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father, honoring Stephen, standing. And that's not every day that Jesus is going to get up and go, well done. But that's what happened. And it says that there was a young man named Saul, and they took the clothing of Stephen, the dead man, and threw it at the feet of Saul, who was giving his blessing on the whole proceedings. And if you know much about Saul, Saul later became Paul and had an encounter with God on the Damascus Road. Thus the name for this church. If you want it in a nutshell, there it is. That's where that came from. From that experience, the life-transforming encounter that Saul had, and his name was changed to Paul, and he became practically the writer of the New Testament. This man who was a murderer and killed Christians now becomes a God-loving, Jesus-loving, Bible-preaching man of God that God used for miracles, signs, and wonders readily and was full of the Holy Spirit and power. The same man who had an encounter, who had his mind illuminated by the Holy Spirit, who was transformed by the love of God and found his destination and his fulfillment, his success in the purposes of God. That's a good plan. Same plan God has for each of us, by the way. Good plan. Thank you, God. A great persecution broke out against the church and they were scattered everywhere. But you know what? Even through the persecution, they continued to preach the good news of the message of Jesus Christ. Forgiveness of sins through Christ. So the overview and purpose of Acts is this. Now, I don't know if you take notes, and sometimes I don't have a lot of great things to say, but every now and then God may slip something out of me that's worth writing down. So if you, I just want to encourage you, be a note taker. Open the Bible, bring it with you. I did a thing once, again, a youth pastor for 19 years, so I did a lot of things once. But one thing, I sent a letter out to all the parents in our church once that had teenagers. We had a lot. And I said, there's kind of a scandal going on. Some of your kids are coming undressed to youth group. And, you know, so I did this whole long story. And then at the end, I said, yeah, the reason they're undressed is because they're not coming clothed with the Word of God. They're not bringing their own Bibles to church. I got some good feedback on that one. You know, there's always someone that goes, they can't say that about my kid. Well, then give them a Bible. I mean, you know, teach them the right things. And but take notes. Read your Bible. Take notes and let God do something through your life and in your life. Please try it. What can you lose? You can gain everything. You can lose nothing. Okay, so the overview of the book of Acts is the empowering believers to share the gospel to all people everywhere, and how this gifting is for all who know him as Lord, all who know him as Lord and Savior. It is the birthright. I think that's up there. Okay. It is the birthright of every believer to seek, expect, and experience this same baptism that was being poured out on these New Testament believers. It's your birthright. If you're born again, you have a birthright. You are the child of the living God. And it is your right to believe for these things for yourself, because God's already spoken it for us. So all through the book of Acts, we see how God used the believers to do all kinds of miracles, even raisings from the dead and demonic deliverances. Yes, those things do exist. Yes, I have seen all of that, but not the raising of the dead. I would like to. I think I told some of you, I have a friend that did in Tuva, Siberia. I told you that story, right? Nay? Are you sure? You're just stalling me now. Okay, he's preaching at this thing, ex-communist area, and these communists come in to disturb, disrupt the meeting, disprove that God is real. They bring in this guy on a stretcher, dead or in a doornail. Okay, he's out, dead, gone. And five of them, they bring him in, and they right up the front. I mean, there's hundreds of people right up in the front. Says, if your God is real, then you raise him from the dead. How's like that? Someone come in here, you go, do that right here. If your God is real, God, you know, then raise him from the dead. And they're like smug. Yeah, this we got him now. These people are going to leave. This guy's going. They're going to say he's just, you know, he's off. And so he'd never done this before in his life. And so what's he going to do? So he puts his hand on this cold corpse. I can imagine it's kind of like, you know, and begins to pray. And these guys are just, you know, and he begins to pray and he sees a hand start to do this. Start to twitch. And then the guy sits up. Three of the guys gave their lives to Christ. You can imagine. The other two got mad and left. Now, that is stupid right there. Okay. That's the definition of stupid today. And how do I know it's true? Because I personally know these guys. This isn't some story I got off the internet. I know these people. His wife was the assistant youth pastor for me for years. I know their family. They don't lie. And this guy is not flashy. He just like, okay. And the guy came up. God can do these things. And you know why? Can you imagine what happened in that place with all those people that were there watching? Yeah, go God. It wasn't like, you know, I don't believe in God anymore. Wow, did you just see that? And that's the purpose of miracles, is to give God glory. God used these guys time and time again. If you read through the book of Acts, it's always like, and they healed this guy, and everyone knew it, and thousands were added. Thousands were added. They listened intently. They saw what happened. They were in. They were like, whoa, if God's like this, I want to know him. It's the same God we have today, folks. Does the same things. We could pray for people and see things happen. I'm not telling you that you should go over here to a mortuary and throw someone up against the wall and say, get up. But if you feel like God told you, okay. But this was done. You got to remember, this was done. This was a showdown. And God showed up and put the devil down. And God won. And God loves to do those things through us if we won't cower and shrink back, like it says in Revelation. We don't shrink back, but we stand tall for Christ, like Stephen and Jesus stood, you know. Yeah, he died. You know, the funny thing is, you can be tough for God, and you can die in the process. And you say, no, God will watch over me. Well, that's true too, but there are times where these guys, I've read a couple of these guys dying in here, Stephen, James. They died with their faith. But what's it worth? What can man do to you? Can't take you from heaven. Okay. So Matthew 10:7-8 says, as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of God of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. God says, look, I've given you this. Use it. Not just about money. I've given you these gifts. Use it. How do I know what gifts I have? Have you tried any? Have you put God to the test any? Have you asked for any? The Bible says we should ask. Because it's a good thing. I would love to have a gift of healing. Lay my hands on a person with cancer and see that person made well. Whew. So these are the words of Christ to follow for all who would follow him. Not just a few, but everyone who's sincere about their faith with Christ. He wants to give those good gifts. He's our Father. He doesn't know how to give bad gifts. He gives good gifts to his children. And these are supernatural gifts meant to magnify him and strengthen others. Hey, in 1 Corinthians 12, let's look and see what it says about spiritual gifts. We'll just go over this quickly. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but this backs up this whole talk. Now about the gifts of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Some say ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, in other words, when you didn't know the Lord, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. It's a good thing. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of that same Spirit. To another, faith by that same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines, as he wants. But they are for all of us, as God chooses to give them to us and as we ask and are ready to use them. I think God sometimes knows who's willing to use them and who's going to sit on them, you know. And he's going to know who to give it to, who he can trust something to. In verse 31, it even says, and eagerly desire the greater gifts, if you went on to read in that. So we see this time and time again in Acts being exercised through believers just like you and me. It was preached, the message was preached with fresh boldness. There was conviction of sin and a need for repentance with a new power, with a new authority. People were being saved by thousands. They were being water baptized, which that list is going around, right? They were being shown the complete gospel, inclusive and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they were being filled with his presence for the power to witness and have a stronger heart for lost people. When I say lost, I'm not talking about people that missed the bus. I'm talking about people that don't know the Lord. The Bible is clear. Apart from him, there is no life. That's why he died. And God has called us to them to reach the lost. That's why I love it when people come in here and ask questions. I don't care if they have a pentagram tattooed on their forehead. I don't care. Doesn't matter. God can change that. God can forgive anything if people will just cry out and receive. You know, when Philip was down in Samaria, the crowds witnessed some miracles, and it says they listened more intently. I don't know if you have that in Acts. Yeah. It says, when the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So Philip had this gift of healing. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that drove the demonic out of these people and revealed them, exposed it. Well, there's stories there, and I don't have time for that. But so often we are walking around with people that are demon-oppressed, demon-possessed, and we don't even know it. Now, I don't say walking around like your friends. I mean, maybe. Depends on who your friends are. But I'm convinced that mental asylums, half those people do not have a physical problem. They have a spiritual problem. And they need to be set free. And the only reason they're not is because we're not doing our job. Because we don't discern the spirit that's in them. We don't discern the thing that's keeping them in bondage. And we don't exercise our authority over that. But here, it said they came out with shrieks. And it happens. You know, In God's economy, a person's soul is his primary target, not their comfort. God's more concerned about souls than his comfort. The Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the world, lose his whole soul? So, you know, God could spend all day getting people all their little shopping list of stuff, you know, and getting us through tough times and meeting every need. But apart from those people crying out for forgiveness and receiving the grace of Jesus Christ, what's it worth? It's temporary at best. In Acts 9:32, Peter heals a bedridden paralytic of 8 years. This person was laying in a bed. And all he said was, Jesus Christ heals you. He didn't go through this whole big thing. He just said, Jesus Christ heals you. And then he said, this is interesting. He said, get up and take care of your mat. That's like, oh, and don't forget to let out the dog. Get up and take care of your mat. And it says at once, immediately the man jumped up and all those who saw the man turned to the Lord. And in that same chapter, Peter hears about the death of Dorcas. Now, she was also known as Tabitha. And she was known for doing a lot of good things for people, helping the poor. And she died. He walks into this room and he asks everyone to leave. Then he gets down on his knees and he prays. And all he says is, Tabitha, get up. And she sits up. He grabs her by the hand, takes her out, shows her to everyone. Whoa, thank you, God. People listened. It got their attention. And many gave their hearts to Christ. In almost every situation, the people were being saved, baptized in water, and baptized in the Holy Spirit. There was a guy, a Roman centurion named Cornelius, had a vision. There's a man in Joppa. You got to send someone to go get him. He's got something for you. God didn't reveal to them what it was. Of course, we know now it was the Holy Spirit. It said he was a devout follower of God. So this man wasn't, I mean, he knew about Christ. He knew about the things of faith, he and his household. And he was a Roman centurion. I mean, this guy was a leader. And about the same time, Peter's having a vision. Three times it says he has this vision where God lowers down this like large cloth, canvas, blanket, whatever you want to say. All these different animals on there and things that were considered unclean in Jewish culture. And God said to him, kill, eat, everything I made's clean. Now, was he referring to a sandwich? He was referring to his creation, talking about Jews and Gentiles, meaning those that were non-Jewish. Everyone's either a Gentile or a Jew. And so about that time, God speaks to him through an angel, I think it says. And he says, Peter, there's some men at your door and they're here to get you. Goes down and they take him to Joppa where Cornelius is. And the Bible says while he's preaching to them, because Cornelius says, God's said you have something for us. Speak. And Cornelius, I love this guy because you're Roman. You know, I always picture these guys with big red things up here and the big brass, chromey looking, you know, bumper guards on them. And he's so excited about the potential that he invites his whole family, all his relatives, even his mother-in-law. It's a joke. He invites them all and all of his close friends. He's like saying, guys, God's going to do something great. And he gets them all in there. And then while Peter is speaking, it says the power of the Holy Spirit baptizes. I mean, it's not like Peter said, now we're going to pray for the Holy Spirit. I see that hand. You know, it wasn't like that. He's just speaking and the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, God had primed the pump, you know. Cornelius was anticipating, expecting the way we should be. Anticipating God to do something, and God showed up in a big way. They all were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Even while he was still speaking. So Cornelius had packed his house, and God had something for him. And then, interesting note, at Cornelius' house, they asked him about being water baptized. These guys hadn't even been water baptized yet. But now they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Two distinct things, obviously. It just goes to show you, if you are born again, whatever you want to call that, you ask Jesus into your heart. You know that you're right with Christ. The Bible says the Holy Spirit's for you. And you say, well, I'm not baptized in water yet. Well, guess what? You can still be baptized in the Holy Spirit and then be baptized in water. Cornelius is a good example. Should you still be baptized in water? Of course. But don't get hung up on the order. The importance is that you receive from God what God has for you and that you're open to that. You know, at Damascus Road, we believe in laying on of hands of people. And you say, ooh, what's that? Laying on of hands. Is that like pickpocketing, taking my money? No. We believe in the impartation, the symbolism. If you see, like when we're praying, I'm always doing this. Or if it's glory in the back, it works. Look, but it's a symbol of faith, an agreement. I'm imparting. You know what I mean? It's just my hand. But I am imparting. I am believing in agreement. It's better than just like this. I'll get through this. You know, no. Lord, touch. Why not? We believe in laying on of hands. Jesus would lay hands on sick people and they would get well. The disciples often would lay hands on people. That's why we believe in that here. Do you have to do it that way? No. It's a symbol, an act of faith. It symbolizes an agreement of faith to impart and receive the results of our prayers. It's an act of faith, impartation, agreement. You know, I'm going to go to the end here. I'm going to jump over to Acts 16, one of my favorite stories. I'm going to throw up. Okay, Acts 16. And this is a story about Paul and Silas. Paul and the guys were out. And there was a slave girl who was filled with a demon. And she was basically, she was profitable for her owners because she earned money for them by fortune telling. Probably a lot of these guys, they say they're sorcerers and so on. So they were involved in astrology. The reading of the stars, alignment of the stars. And I would tell you, if you're involved in astrology, stop it. I'm not going to get into that right now. Some of you are into the horoscope reading. Don't, please. And because this girl was demon-possessed, and she was into this sort of thing. Sorcerers were usually astrologers. She was a fortune teller. And it says in Acts 6:16 that she had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She kept following the disciples and shouting. And after several days, Paul discerns the spirit of this girl and turns to her and says, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And the spirit left. You notice he didn't say in the name of Paul or in the name of Damascus Road. In the name of Jesus Christ, come out. He took authority by the authority in the name of Jesus. And so Paul and Silas were brought before the magistrate. He had them flogged, usually 40 lashes minus one. I don't know why they say that. That's 39, I think. And thrown into prison and put their feet in chains or stocks. And I love the way they handled their situation. Some of you are familiar with this story. If not, it'll be news to you. But around midnight, it says that Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Now, this is highly unusual behavior, I would say, for anyone that's just been thrown into prison with probably rats scurrying around. Not the best smells, I'm sure. Probably human feces to your right and to your left. I don't think they had flushing toilets in there. And they're singing and praying to God. This is the day. They're singing and praising God about midnight after they've been beaten. Can you imagine? I mean, 40 Roman whip lashes across your naked body. And then they're in this dungeon and they're singing. And it says suddenly, it said the other prisoners were listening too, by the way. Chris, what else they got to do, huh? Suddenly there was an earthquake and the prison was shaken to its foundation. All the doors immediately flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. Can you scroll that up, Lord? Chains of every prisoner fell off. There you go. Thank you. And the jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. And he assumed the prisoners had escaped. So he drew his sword to kill himself because he knew he was as good as dead. I mean, they're gone. He's going to get killed. But Paul shouted to him, stop. Don't kill yourself. We're all here. Can you imagine from the depths of this darkness? Wait, we're all here. We're just singing, having a party. And the jailer called for the lights. In other words, no, not the switch. He got a torch and ran into the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas and said, then he brought them out and asked them, he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Isn't that the big question? What must I do to be saved? God sent an earthquake because these guys chose to sing praises to God and to have a prayer meeting in the middle when everyone could hear them. They didn't care where they're going to go. And they're praising God, and God sends an earthquake. Chains fall off, and now this jailer recognizes this is supernatural. What must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved along with everyone in your household. And they shared the word of the Lord with him and all who lived in his household. And even at that hour of night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. They didn't wait. He brought them into his house and set a meal before them. And he and his whole entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. That's the kind of thing my God can do. I don't know if it's your God. That's the kind of thing he still does and is willing to do for all that will have the guts of Paul and Silas and believe. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and look for all the gifts that he has for us that we might be effective in our walk, that we don't just live 80 plus years and bury a hole where we have a little tombstone over the top of us, but that we can make a difference in the world we live in. You know, the Bible says about David, it says, he fulfilled the purposes of God in his generation, and then he died. Wouldn't that be a great thing to put on your tombstone? Matt fulfilled the purposes of God in his generation, and then he died. Michael fulfilled the purposes of God in his generation, then he died. Wow. What a thing to say. And that can happen. Even in the middle of our suffering, like Paul and Silas, they prayed and sang to God. Because their joy, our joy, is not dependent on outward circumstances. Troubles, trials, persecutions, they cannot destroy our hope. They cannot take away our faith. They cannot take away our joy. The enemy cannot destroy a believer's love for God. And even in the worst situation, God will supply enough grace, like he did for Paul and Silas, for those that are willing to serve him wholeheartedly. Wow. And the story is true today, and it's still being lived for everyone that believes the message. Father, I thank you for everyone in this room. Father, and I don't know, maybe there are people here that say, you know, he's always talking about this being saved, being born again, about personal relationship with Jesus. And I know about church. I know about, I've heard about God. I've heard about Jesus. But I'm not really sure I know when I have ever really asked him to forgive me and change my life. And I just, maybe I've attended church and stuff, but I can't remember. I don't know that exact time. And I just want to tell you today that if that's the way you're feeling, then why don't you make sure today, why don't you ask Christ just to come in and be who he is in your life, to forgive you and take it away and just release his life into you through the love and the power of God. What a deal. Why not know that? And I don't know, maybe there's no one here that feels that way, but I've got a feeling there are. Call it discernment, call it whatever. But just a matter of whether or not you'll respond, like the jailer who said, as he fell at their feet trembling, what must I do to be saved? He asked and God poured it out. And if you're here today and you just need God to touch you like that, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? If that's you, I just want you to stand where you're at and we'll just pray with you. Why do you have to stand? I don't know. Because I think that you need to be bold enough to say, this is what I need, and I'm not ashamed about that. I just want my life to change. I know He can do it, and I don't care who knows. I want you to stand with me. Before we break for coffee, let's everyone stand. I want you to grab the hand next to you. And I know, I realize that the person next to you, you may not know what's going on in their life. But I want you to pray that God, for the person on your right and your left, if you just take, maybe even span the aisle and grab a hand, just pray for that person. You don't know what situations they're going through. You don't know if they're feeling like they're in the prison right now with Paul and Silas. And maybe they need to feel that joy. Maybe they need to experience the shaking in that cell. And they need to experience that power of God and the love of God. And just begin to pray for the person on your right and your left. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, you look down from heaven. You see our hearts. You see our hands held together. Let it be more than just sweaty palms touching sweaty palms, God. Let it be just a chain reaction of faith that moves through us, God, and touches. Father, and I, if there are people here that are going through situations and tough times, they're in their own jail cell experience right now. Father, and maybe their reaction has not been like Paul and Silas who said, I'm just going to sing to God and I'm going to pray. Father, I pray that you lift their spirit and give them that new plateau of joy. You'd bring them to that new place in you, that new confidence in you. Father, if there be oppression, just like Laura prayed earlier, she read that verse. Father, we war not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual places. And Father, I believe there are people right now, and as we're interceding for them and we're praying, don't be afraid to pray out loud, by the way. But as we're praying for them, Father, we just ask that you begin to bind the attacker, the one who tries to come and minimize their life, the one who tries to come and accuse them and condemn them. Father, so we take authority over those powers and principalities in the name of Jesus. And just like Paul said, go in Jesus' name. And we release instead a spirit of life. A spirit of life, a spirit of joy, a spirit of completeness, a spirit of fulfillment, spirit of hope. And there's a couple people in here that came in really sad today. You're sad about your life. And you think your life doesn't, you know, it's done. It didn't amount to much. And the failures in your past are dictating your future. And God wants you to know today that today's a different day. Tomorrow's another day. That if you seek Him and trust Him in a more full, complete way, if you just give Him everything, if you'll surrender like that song we sang, if you'll give it all, lay it down at His feet, and let Him put a new song in your heart and a new purpose, like David, who fulfilled the purposes of God in his generation, and then he died. There is more to be done. There is still time in your life. But get started on it today. And I don't know who that's for. Maybe one or two. I don't know. But someone here, God is speaking to about that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all the good things you've given us. Our friends, our family, the clothes on our back. The ability to walk, God. The ability to speak and think. Thank you for life. Now, God, let our time together here at the end as we just hang out together, drink some coffee and tea. Father, let us be like that iron that sharpens the iron, God. Let us say good things to one another, encouragement, God. And Father, let us be truly the people of God. Thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.